Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I would return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I think surprises probably most people when I tell them is that Lent, and the season of Lent, is set up for you to fail. Set up for you to fail. When I hear confession during Lent, right, this is pretty much the main thing that people are confessing, that they've failed in one aspect of the disciplines of it, like the fast, for example. That's a big one. Or any of the other disciplines. And don't get me wrong, you should confess those things, those failures of yours in the Lenten disciplines. You know, you broke the fast, you were slothful, and on and on and on. But let me ask you this. What would succeeding in the disciplines of Lent even look like? What would that look like? Right, I mean, hypothetically, there could be someone out there, like a person out there amongst you, it's not here, but maybe out there who keeps the fast perfect in every aspect of it, right? Someone who comes to every single service of the church throughout Lent, right? Empties their savings account and gives all of that money to the poor. Prays every waking moment of the entirety of Lent, right? Stays up, right? Sleeps only 3 hours at night because they have been up keeping vigil in prayer. Hypothetically, there could be such a person. I don't think I've met them, nor do I think that I would, though, because if there were such a person, they would have to do all of that in secret, in private. I would never know about it, where only their father could see them and no one else. But I'm going to be honest. I don't think that person is out there. And he's certainly not standing in the pulpit right here. I'll tell you that. But let's say hypothetically, that person did exist and that person was you. Would keeping Lent perfectly be good for you. It would, at a minimum, right, at just a bare minimum, present a great temptation to pride, right, about it. Just how well you've kept the season of Lent and all of the disciplines, right, compared to everyone else in the Christian community to which God has gathered you into. Right, at the very least, there would be that temptation. Right? But also, this kind of prompts the question, if it's set up for us to fail, then why would the Holy Church set up a rule, right? Set up guidelines, and then encourage us in them that pretty much everyone is going to fail in some way, right? Some in different ways, of course. Some will fail in minor ways, some in spectacular ways. But everyone's going to somehow fail. Why in the world would we do this? What we have to ask in all of this is, what's the goal? Right? What's the purpose of Lent? Why does the church encourage us in this season to keep these disciplines? Why do we do them? Why do our parents do them? Why do we instruct and raise our kids up in these things? The goal is self-mastery. Self-mastery. Right? To not let sin, which is ever crouching at our door, to have mastery over us, to where it is our Lord and our Master, and we are its slave and its puppet, right? That's really the goal of the entirety of the Christian life, to master yourself so that you can be mastered by the Holy Spirit, right? Sanctification, we call this in the church. Because we really can't offer our whole selves to God, right? Until we first master ourselves, until we bring the flesh into submission of the will, under the renewed will and mind that Christ has given to us, which each of us has been given in baptism. Because if there is some part of my life, right, some part of my heart, some part of my soul, some part of my mind that is out of my control, right, that I'm not controlling, then I can't offer that to God, right? It's out of my control. I can't do it, meaning that it's probably deep into following the sinful desire of my flesh, right? That's what that probably means, and then I need to stop it and get rid of it. So self-control then, right, that last fruit of the Spirit, I think may be listed as last by St. Paul, because it's the hardest one, right? Self-mastery, right? And it's also the very heart of all the other ones, right? To master yourself is the one that all of the other fruits of the Spirit kind of hinge on. How do we develop that? How do we work on that? How do we control and take control of ourselves, right? My gluttony is out of control. How do I counter that in myself? What does Lent say? By fasting. By fasting. If my laziness is out of control, how do I attack that? Well, by keeping vigil, by praying, by staying awake, by denying myself the kind of rest and leisure that I want to indulge in all the time. See, it's all very plain and simple, Lent is. How do I discipline my spending habits? How do I discipline how I waste time, my self-indulgence? Lent gives us opportunities to do all of that and to fail at it, to fail at it. And by giving us the opportunity to fail, what does that do? Well, it shows us the areas in our lives where we're weak, right? The areas in our lives that we need to work on and improve. I want to give an example. The question that I probably get the most about the disciplines of Lent has to do with Sundays being a feast day, right? Which is true. Every Sunday, right, the divine service, it's when we celebrate the Eucharist, it's always a feast day. Sunday is not a fast day, it's a feast day. Right? It doesn't really fall, you know, it's not of, it's in Lent, but it's not of Lent. The Sundays are, you know, the Sundays aren't sort of counted toward the 40 days as you approach Easter. You know, they're outside of that 40, it doesn't even count in the numbering of it. And so the question's always like, you know, well, maybe, Pastor, can I relax a little bit on Sunday, right? Can I relax my fasting? Can I relax my prayer? Can I relax my charity, my practice of Christian love? Or whatever it is that you've taken up during Lent to discipline your body with. And so those questions sort of usually get at, you know, would it be all right if I just took a break one day out of the week? To which I respond firstly is, there's no law about these things. There's no law about these sorts. You are electing to do them. Right? You're electing, choosing to undertake them, to incorporate them into your life and piety. It's not a sin to not do them. Not a sin not to do them. But secondly, you know what I say? You should aim at Sundays too. Right? You should keep the disciplines on Sundays. By the way, I'm saying all this, I've already failed at my Lenten discipline. Already done it. I've already failed. I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm a failure. But what I'm doing is I'm aiming at the whole of Lent, right? The whole of the 40 days, the whole period without a break. And here's why. Because if you can't go 40 days without drinking alcohol, that is going to tell you something about your relationship with alcohol, isn't it? Right? And the mastery that it has over you as its slave, right? If you can't go 40 days without eating meat, that's going to tell you something, right? It's going to tell you something. You're going to learn something crucial about yourself and the sway that these things have over the flesh. Because self-mastery, right? Self-control begins with self-knowledge. And so, by the way, does repentance. If we really don't know ourselves, and this is a very real possibility, right? Then we can't get control of ourselves. And we really can't repent and do so well. And if you say, well, how could I not know myself, Pastor? That sounds stupid. We are in denial about a lot of things regarding ourselves. We can fool ourselves about ourselves even, right? We lie to ourselves like a lot. We do. Because when it comes right down to it, you know, I can say, oh, I'm in control of myself, right? That which I present to people, I'm in control of myself. I can say, you know, no, I make my choices. No, I'm not controlled by the passions. No, I'm not fill in the blank, right? Fill in the blank. I'm not mastered by anything. I'm in control of myself in every aspect. And then you ask me to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch for 40 days instead of a ham and Swiss, and I'm like, what? I can't do that. For 40 days? That's crazy. What? No cream in my coffee for 40 days so I don't have to be reminded of the bitterness of my sin every morning? You see, I've been lying to myself. I am out of control. And I bet you are too. I'm just betting. I'm not pointing any fingers. Or you say, you know, you're going to stop drinking during Lent. Right, that you take that up as your discipline, and you don't. And you make up reasons for why the fast is stupid. You've been lying to yourself too. What Lent does, beloved of the Lord, is it gives us this opportunity, this time set apart from the rest of the year, to look at our own weaknesses through the lens of reality. Through the lens of God's word that never lies to us, and see just how much our life, the rest of the year, is out of control. And by gaining that knowledge, to begin to get a handle on controlling it, to begin to get a handle on controlling ourselves and what we do and how we behave and how we act and how we represent Jesus out to the rest of the world. You know, Lent is like boot camp in the military, right? It really is. No one in the military continues to keep the level of discipline that they have in boot camp for the entirety of their military career, right? They don't. It would kill them, right? It would be awful. You can't do that. Boot camp is deliberately this ultra-intense period of time for training. In the same way, the church has never told people, you got to keep Lent all year round. It would be awful, because that would not be a good thing for you. To do that, to intensify everything like that all year, that would not be good for you. But if you go through boot camp in the military, and then you forget every single thing that you learned about yourself, and you completely discard all of the mastery over yourself that you gained, then it was a waste. It was a waste. And there's no reason to do it. None at all. The same is true for Lent. Right? If you get to Easter, and we all feast at Easter, right? Easter is a party. We all have a party on Easter. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you get to Easter and everything that you learned about yourself during that time, during those 40 days, all the weak spots, right, in your armor, that vice, that passion that you were given to, all the places where you need to do some work, you just gone. You just forget it all. Then Lent was a waste. And you shouldn't have even bothered. But on the other hand, if we remember what we learned, we now have sort of this, you know, spiritual curriculum that is going to help us through the rest of the year. Right? We now have a better idea of what's wrong, a better idea of where it is that we need to work and focus, where we have to ask for God's help in the coming year, where our attention needs to be. And we have this curriculum to get us all the way through the next year. And then what comes up again? Lent. Again, every year, praise be to God. Right? There'll be Lent. And there'll be this other test, this yearly Christian boot camp again. And sometimes we'll find out that we're still weak in the places where we thought we were doing a lot better. And in some cases, you know, we will do better in some areas, and then we'll do worse in others. Because this isn't a one-time thing, right? It's not like, oops, I've kept the disciplines of Lent, you know, I got it licked now, and I don't sin anymore, right? That's not the way that the Christian life works. You know, Lent is this ongoing struggle, this striving and contending against mostly our own flesh, but also against Satan, who inflames the passions against our flesh and uses that against us to seduce us, right? To walk rather according to the Holy Spirit and not live according to our flesh, bow down to it or to Satan. And Lent is this time of focus, of renewal, right, of recommitment to God that can shape our whole year. And if our years are shaped walking according to the Spirit, if the rest of our years are shaped this way, then it's going to end up shaping our whole life, right, of who we are on the last day when we meet Jesus face to face. And it's not too late to start, right? If you haven't, it's not too late. Lent is still upon us. The invitation to boot camp, right, for the year of our Lord 2024, still on the table. You will get as much out of this Lent, and every year's Lent, as you're willing to put into and commit to it, right? If you decide to ignore the fast, if you decide to ignore the extra services, right, especially of Holy Week, if you decide to ignore all of these things, you're not going to get hit by a lightning bolt, right? You're not going to go to hell for it. But you will be missing out on a whole set of blessings that could have been in your life. You'll be missing out on the fruit that living according to the Spirit can bring into your life. You'll be missing out on peace. You will be missing out on joy. Joy that could be in your life if you're working to follow the Spirit instead of the flesh. No one's life, I promise, was ever worse. No one ever sinned more by taking this journey into self-mastery and self-control. Rather, your relationship with Christ himself becomes richer. Your relationships with all of those people that are gathered around you in your life become better and become deeper. And your relationship with the world and the flesh, it becomes crystal clear during Lent especially. And it becomes set in its proper order, which is something that Christians today, we, if we're being honest, we don't do a good job with. We don't do a good job at setting the culture around us in its proper place and order. So each of us then has a choice to make, right? A series of choices during Lent. And I hope that what I've talked about today is going to help you in some way, either this year or in the Lents to come, to make the harder choices, to make the right choices, away from the flesh and away from the world and toward Christ, the only Savior of men. And that we all commit to failing and know that it's okay. It's actually written into it for you to do, right? Just like it's written into the Torah, that you are supposed to fail. We know this because what's part of the Torah? The commandment to repent, right? Just like it's written into the Torah, so it's written into Lent, right? To fail. Sometimes to fail incredibly so that we can truly come to know who we are and stop lying to even ourselves and continue to grow into who it is that God has summoned us in himself to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.